Let's prepare ourselves for a morning of worship, a few moments in prayer. So let's prepare ourselves. We have a good study this morning in Daniel. So let's get ready, and that all that we do will be glorifying to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. Where, Heavenly Father, we still come and we can still teach the truth of Scripture, not being pressed by government, but have the freedom of the Spirit. So, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Brian.
Spring Valley has James Webb with us on piano today. We're going to sing a medley. We invite you to stand and sing with us number 164. We'll sing it all the way through once and continue into 165 all the way through once. And then we'll finish up 164, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, the last verse all the way through, and the last verse of Amazing Grace all the way through. Grace Greater Than Our Sin, 164.
See how this works out.
Yeah.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
That turned out nice. Boy, let these two guys get together and we're in trouble. You know, we can tell you you're a pre-K, preacher's kid, leading songs all your life and revivals and everything. Boy, you just had them coming down the aisle. All right. Okay, now in regard to prayer requests, getting ready for these things, got an urgent prayer request from John Hintz in regard to Pat Risley, Bill's wife. Dear Risley prayer warriors, we the Risleys need your prayers. Pat is in the hospital in the Phoenix area. It looks like she will be there for at least a few days, maybe longer. Please pray for the doctors as they treat her. Pray for peace and comfort for Bill and the rest of the family, and of course for quick healing and comfort for Pat. As these things progress, I will let you know. For now, what we need is lots and lots of prayer. I know for a lot that God answers our prayers. Thanks, Pastor John. So, please be in prayer. I don't know what's wrong. I just got that this morning when I woke up and turned on the computer at 6, and that was on there. So, please be in prayer for Pat. Let's see now. I want to talk of something special in just a moment, but any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I have one for Vern. He has a tumor on his brain, and they took a biopsy, and he'll know on Wednesday if it's cancerous or not.
Wednesday? All right, we need to be in prayer. My goodness. Vern is a very good friend of Tish and the family, so please be in prayer for Vern. Y'all have known each other since
high school,
so it's a long time. So please be in prayer for Vern. Any other prayer requests that I'm not? Yes.
A friend of mine's father named Gene is having heart issues.
Heart issues?
Heart attack
earlier this week. Okay. We need to be in prayer for Gene. How's Molly, Kit?
She's hanging in there. She's just waiting for an appointment. Somebody's supposed to cancel an appointment so she can take that slot.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for Molly. And any other prayer request? Julie, how's your Bible study at work going? Is it defunct now or is it still going?
We put it on hold because we're short on people and we're working extra hours. A lot. And this coming week in particular is a lot. It's going to be an 80-hour week.
Okay.
So, probably nobody gets to do any of
that. Very good. One of the main reasons, one, I am interested, but one of the main reasons I asked Julie, I don't know if you can tell, but I got my new hearing aids Friday, and I wanted to see if I could hear her. And I heard her, and I heard Brian, so that was good. And so there are three tests that I have. One of them was at church, and if I could hear everybody. And one is if I can hear my grandchildren talking about me, and I'll find that out tomorrow night. So so far they're very good. Thomas, how you doing?
Good.
Good. All right. Anything going on? All right. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Any other prayer request? All right. Listen. Yes. Oh, all right, yeah. Good grief. You're supposed to know all that stuff. My goodness. We're going to have to lower your salary. And when you lower nothing to nothing, you get nothing. So, all right, we'll definitely be in prayer for you and understanding what's going on here. Very good. Any other prayer requests and all? Heather, your uncle passed away?
Yes.
Yep. The family doing okay now?
Yeah, they are. He actually lucked out. It was going to be a pretty nifty role. And he died like 4 weeks after he was diagnosed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they had to finish all the preliminary testing to decide on treatment.
Welcome to the world, Grandma. Okay. We'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? When Thomas was in intensive care, one of the most powerful part of an afternoon was within a large group of us, went to the hospital, and out in the waiting area we met and had a wonderful prayer meeting in which different people prayed, and not everyone did, no one ever had to. And so I would like to just incorporate that right now here in this assembly for Judah's brother, Ronnie. Ronald had his first stem cell yesterday, Thomas, and it went okay. And the fortunate thing is his body's not going to have to adjust whether or not his body will take it, because they're his own. And so it'll just be a matter of what happens. And I thought this was very effective. This prayer was written, and it's, O gracious God, our great physician, we thank you for being present with Ronald Lee McKee in his journey. Continue to stand beside Ronald Lee McKee to hold him up and give him strength. Be over him, protect him, be behind him to encourage him when he is weak. Be before him to persuade him toward hope and healing. Bless these calls as they nourish body, mind, and soul. May Ronald McKee feel your healing power flowing through every cell, bringing a new day of health and joy and creative energy. We are thankful that Ronald McKee was able to use his own cells. Where there is anxiety, bring reassurance. Where there is fear, bring comfort. Where there is hope, increase it. Where there is love, strengthen it. Where there is peace, enhance it. Come, let us now in our journey into the new, lead us forward with your vision and abundant life, and help us to continue to become all you created us to be in your divine image, now and forever. Amen. Well, that's very effective. So let's just have a few moments of prayer, and we can add to that. We can add Brian's friend, and we can add any of these people going through these kinds of things. Continue to be in prayer for Thomas, but just mainly for Ronnie and all that he's going through. He'll have the second treatment of the...
Today at 2.
He'll have the second of the stem cell treatment. Yesterday, he had one... How many? Four?
5 bags yesterday and 4 today.
4 bags today, starting at 2. So, just be in prayer for him, for this body receiving, for God's plan and will. And if you feel led to pray, please do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up these prayers to you. Prayer for Ronnie at this time, this afternoon. Your spirit will touch his body, be responsive. This healing process, carry on, Father. Father, we've seen miracles that you performed. Right here in our own assembly, Thomas is your miracle of your grace and your blessing. This young man is now in college, having fought a courageous fight. We pray for his parents who have been in this battle. And Father, we now pray for Ronnie that you will give him strength. Pray you'll be with his family. Be with his wife as she goes through this struggle. Be with his family, his sisters and brothers. And Father, we just pray for all the requests that we have made known to you. Trey's friend, Father, we pray that your will be done. And Father, we especially pray in regard to Molly, Kit's sister, that you will use what she's going through to bring her face to face with the gospel. And our prayer is that she would respond and believe in the Savior of her brother Kit and our Savior. Father, we just pray that you use all kinds of circumstances, problems that people have to bring them closer to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. These things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are an humble assembly, but you have seen fit to use us in so many wonderful ways. The internet, which we'll never know, maybe in eternity, maybe even not then, your use of the internet and the outreach of the teaching of your word. The young people, two different homes right here in our own assembly, Father, bringing young people to the saving knowledge of Christ and to the blessings of knowing Christ, their Savior. Father, we just pray you'll continue to use this assembly, our missionary outreach, young people, internet, and right here in our own assembly, our own fellowship with one another, our own encouragement of one another. Father, we'll fulfill the very purpose for which you have designed this assembly. We pray, Father, now that you receive these offerings and use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
knows who our guest singer was? No?
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Tennessee Ernie Ford. I know you don't know who that is, Mackenzie.
Now you do.
Now you do. He's just an old corn picker. All right. Okay, does anyone not have Be a Star? Does anyone not have it? Okay, so we all got it. Well, let's get to work. But before I do, I just, you know, different stories I hear. I just want you to hear them and appreciate them. Morgan was telling me every week Morgan has to go down to South Texas and handle a lot of banking and problems that the banks are having down there. I mean, he is high-profile stuff. And so he comes, he goes down there. Well, he was telling me he had a copy of one of our Daniels on the table there where he was listening. And now what happened?
Well, my friend looked at it and said, "So what course is this you're taking?" I said, "That's one lesson."
So, all right, let's begin with a word of prayer. And get ready for a morning and studying a couple of verses in Daniel 12. Let's pray. What a relief it is, Heavenly Father, that it's not up to me, that these hearers hear the truth. It's up to them, allowing your Spirit to teach them. That burden is not on me. They have the privilege and the freedom to trust in your Spirit, to allow him to open their eyes to these verses in Daniel 12. So I pray, Father, that this morning we will be in the power of the Spirit, me as the speaker, and as the hearers, that we grow in the knowledge of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. For his glory. Amen. All right, Daniel 12, verse 3. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And this to me was just so personal, even though it's designed for the time of the tribulation. And just a quick rhetorical question for each of us. When was the last time you told someone about Jesus Christ? Now we look at this verse. Do you see what it's saying? When you lead someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're like the stars of heaven that shine forever and ever. And when you have divine insight into the past, the present, and the future, you shine like brightness of the expanse of heaven. People, you may not know a great deal about the sciences of this world, but if you know the wisdom of God's Word, then you're like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. They're making a movie on Stephen Hawking. No doubt the brilliance of his mind doesn't even understand there's a God, much less that Jesus is his Savior. And here we do understand that. So don't ever compare yourself with those kind of people. I hope this one verse convicts you, inspires you to tell others of Jesus, the Savior of your souls. And when you do this, I want you to understand you're like the stars of heaven that shine forever, for you have given them life forever. The verse starts out, those who have insight. I'm sorry that the translators did not do justice to the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, this is called a hifil stem. I love the Hebrew. About 12 stems. They all have different nuances. It's just like a, when you study the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, it's like a mystery. All right, what stem? What this? And, well, how is it used? And these kinds of things. Same thing in the Greek. Got the accusative or the genitive. What's the use of the genitive? What's the use of the accusative in this context? And I'm so thankful for the men at Dallas Seminary who taught me these things. Dr. Williams, he was very famous for his yellow sheets. Those were assignments. and you had to put down the use of the genitive, the use of the accusative, and various things. Now, when we first started, nobody did very good. Then you did your work, you started learning how to think, Well, by the end of the semester, what we figured is, if we made 96, that means we were off on two questions. We disagreed with him on two things. So we figure he's wrong on one, and we're right on one, so we really made 98. And it was so, to forget about the grades, and some kids were just so concerned about it, they would argue with him. We never argued. It was good to see how he understood the use of these things. And that's the way you learn to start thinking in Hebrew and in Greek. Got to think in those languages. Not just know them academically, but learn to think in them. Well, here we have the hiphil stem. And this should be translated, those who cause to have insight. See? Those who it says those who have insight. The Hebrew says those who cause to have insight. And this is in parallel with what's coming up, those who cause the many to righteousness. There's a parallel, a dynamic in the Hebrew here. Those who cause to have insight. Those who cause the many to righteousness. In context, this refers to 144,000 Jewish evangelists of the tribulation spoken of in Revelation 7. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And as a result of their ministry of proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. All Jews are not supposed to be in Israel, but be all over the world. And during the tribulation, they will be saved, supernatural insight into understanding, and start evangelistically telling in German the Germans, in Brazil and the Brazilians, all over the world, China and Chinese, in all of their languages, the gospel. It's going to be unbelievable. And then it says, a great multitude which no one could count from every generation, from every nation, and all tribes of people and tongues or languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It's amazing the poor understanding of the Bible by the cults of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, all that about 144,000 people, those are Jews. Those are saving male virgin Jews who will evangelize the world during the tribulation. All right, Daniel 12:3. Those who have insight, those who cause to have insight, I should have changed it right here, will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who cause to learn of righteousness, like the stars forever. This is an historical recognition of those who teach the truth of the Word of God, those who lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, with the result, the imputation of God's perfect righteousness. Please never lose the insight of righteousness when you're dealing with the gospel. That's the objective, so that they will believe in Christ, be imputed with righteousness, and justified. It is so important to understand the importance of the righteousness of God in all aspects of the Word of God. It is not just a matter of having your sins wiped away. That's the negative. By the cross work of Christ, which did happen. Thank the Lord for that. But it's a matter of the plus side, having the presence of God's perfect righteousness in you. And the only way this can happen is to believe in Jesus Christ, and this is why it is so important and such a privilege to share the gospel with others. Now, this is speaking of during the tribulation when it's going to be dark and difficult, and yet there will be people who will believe the gospel. People, America's dark, and it's getting darker. But there are people who want to know the truth. There are people in your life that you come in contact with. None of us can be everywhere. You have the responsibility, the privilege of sharing the gospel. You will be shocked. Who will say no and who will say, that's what I've been waiting for. The privilege of giving the gospel. Note the phrase, like the stars forever and ever. This is no difference than the way we speak of stars today. She's a movie star. He's a star athlete. So if you desire to be a star, here's a sure way of you being the one, and your stardom will last forever and ever. You just lead a never-dying soul to salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Do not miss the opportunity to be an eternal, glowing star. That's what you have the opportunity for. Tell someone today the precious old story of how Jesus Christ died for them and rose again that they may live forever. Tell them that a simple act of faith in this Jesus means they will receive divine righteousness that they can never have in any other way, and they will live forever and ever. When I think of the poor Mexicans, the Risleys have led to the Lord, and how these poor Mexicans in turn run to tell their friends and family members the gospel story, that here are some people who live in sheds that have no plumbing and no electricity, yet they're going to be eternal glowing stars because of the people they just have, hungry to tell others of Jesus Christ. So how about you? Want to be a star? Here's how you can be. Forget about Dancing with the Stars and forget about movie stars and all the rest of it. You, every one of us, can be the star. So many will respond to the gospel in the tribulation, only die as a martyr's death because they would not give in to what is politically correct and politically demanded. Today, churches like the Methodist, to the Presbyterian, to the Lutheran, to the Roman Catholic Church, are rejecting biblical truth to go along with the way of man, calling wrong right, calling sin no longer sin, and rejecting biblical truth in so many other issues, such as homosexuality, which the Bible clearly teaches is a sin and is an abomination to God. I've not read one or heard one statement by even the bishops who disagree with the Pope wanting to say that homosexuality is okay, say, but the Bible says. They don't agree with him, but nobody says, but the Bible says. People, this is our only ground of truth. Well, even in the Catholic Bible, they have the same verses and books that we do. I thought it was just like ours, except for the sinner. Maybe I don't want one. Wow, I thought this was the same thing. Wow, it's not the same?
No.
Wow.
They have like the way, it's their Bible is what they call it.
Whoa.
It used to be, I don't know.
Well, scratch what I just said then. They couldn't do it because they don't even know what the Bible says. But we can. This is what the Bible teaches. And I don't know if I have it anywhere in this lesson, but now I'm just led to talk about it. I'm sure all of you have heard about what's going on in Houston and how the lesbian mayor of Houston sent letters to white pastors only and of evangelical churches, and she wants a copy. She summoned a legal subpoena, their sermons on anything dealing with homosexuality and lesbianism. Well, there was such an uprise about it that they've withdrawn that for right now. It's still not gone yet, but she wanted to do that. And then what she was going to do was take away their license to be preachers, and their church, and they could not allow them to teach them anymore. In other words, what she was saying was, you're not allowed to teach the Bible, because they're not teaching their opinion, they're teaching the Bible. Now, here's the problem. Could I do that? Yes. That's not the gospel. Whether you're a homosexual or not has nothing to do with the gospel. So I could teach that. But what's going to happen when the day comes you can no longer teach that people may spend eternity in a lake of fire? That's politically incorrect. You are not allowed to teach that. Then I'm not allowed to teach the gospel. You have to lock me up. That's what I'm here for, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're going to have to lock me up. But people, this is how these things creep in. Yes. Did they? Good. And a group of the white ones, but no Muslims were summoned, and Muslims are against homosexuality in their teaching. No black pastors got any of the summons. just some white pastors. She picked them out carefully. So it was very well directed. But the point that I want you to understand is, if they can say you are not allowed to teach the Bible on passages dealing with homosexuality, what's to stop them? You are not allowed to teach passages that deal with the result of not believing in Christ as Savior. It's no difference. So people, we're living in a time that this would never have occurred even in the 50s. That's how far America's gone. That's where we are in America today. And I think the time is coming. We're going to have to make a decision. Are you a partaker of the gospel? Are you a partaker of the world? Okay. But you will, you know what? I do not mind, let's see, teaching sins. Daniel 12, 1 and 2 address the great doctrine of the resurrection, while 12:3 address the issue of rewards in eternity. Daniel 12:4 addresses the two signs of the end. Verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, all right, now we get into the work. Conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. There are people that don't even know much about Daniel, but they know about knowledge increasing. They know about going back and forth in time. Some know about how it's supposed to be concealed. This verse has been translated in a multitude of ways and interpreted in a multitude of ways, all the way to meaning that we are not even to study the book of Daniel until after the rapture of the church and into the tribulation. As we begin our study of this verse, let's make one thing clear. What is your view of God? God is not hiding or sealing this book from the Jews of the Old Testament, nor of the believers in the church age, nor Jewish believers in the tribulation. Let's note a few things. If that were the case, one, why write it in the first place? Why write it in the 6th century B.C. if it's not even to be understood by the Jews or by the church? Two, why not let it be hidden from the until the rapture of the church before it was even written? No, Daniel received these visions to write this book for the edification, instruction, and for the doctrines of all history from the time it was written. Daniel has these visions for the understanding of the Jews of all that was and is and shall occur in their history, for the hope of the peace of understanding believers in the church age. This was important during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. They understood Daniel. Now, look at Daniel 11:33. In the time of Antiochus Epiphanes the IV, in the 2nd century B.C., if this book were sealed from them, they cannot have the insight of the book of Daniel. So let's note carefully our Lord's instructions to Daniel. This is where it's important to have an understanding of what's going on in the text. Verse 1 talked about how Michael will come and take his stand in defense of his people. Verse 2, there was the resurrection of his people. Then in verse 3, they have insight and witnessing. And now, for you, Daniel. For you, Daniel. But as for you, Daniel, Daniel's about 96 years old. You were taken from your home in Judah when you were but a lad, and you have been on a long journey, so you can write these visions. But now, Daniel, it's time for you to come home. So conceal these words and seal up the book. All right, first, let's carefully look at the two verbs ordered of Daniel. Conceal. This is the Hebrew word satan. And I'm going to read to you the first words defining this Hebrew word out of three different Hebrew lexicons. I could have done more. It would have been the same thing. The Hebrew and English Lexicon of the Old Testament, Brown, Drive, and Briggs. This is one that most seminary kids use to press their pants. It's about that thick, and I mean it's heavy. All right, it's the main, our main core lexicon. The first words, stop up, shut up. Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, Harris, Archer, and Walkie. Stop up. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament, Barker and Carpenter. A verb meaning to stop. Therefore, if we just take a simple understanding of this word, it means to stop. Daniel, you have been writing for a long time on many prophecies from visions. It's time to stop. I hope I never hear that. I'm just being serious. I hope I never hear that. But I'm sure I will. But it's stop. It's time for you to stop. He's 96, 97 years old. Stop. That's what he's being told to do. Come up here with me and be at home in heaven. Now, seal up the book. We have already seen what this word means in Daniel 9:24, which James put for here. 70 weeks, this is Daniel 9:74. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Daniel's vision of 70 weeks, when fulfilled, will seal up the prophetic vision. Here in Daniel 12:4, Daniel is instructed by the Lord to seal up his writings of his vision. That's what it means. Seal up your writings and your visions. That is, the visions of Daniel are now over. He has received all and is going that he's going to receive. What Daniel is being told is that men won't understand the content of this apocalyptic vision, Daniel's 10 through 12, chapters 10 through 12, until the end of time. There are sections of this vision that won't be understood until various prophesied times in history arrive. And then all of a sudden, men will understand the contents of the vision. Prophecy is inherently ambiguous until fulfilled. This is why even among good Bible teachers will differ on the details of prophecy. It simply hasn't occurred yet. So completely understanding unfulfilled prophecies will be impossible to completely understand until the prophecy events occur in history. People, that's why I told you, I'm giving you my understanding. You listen to some other ones. You listen to DeYoung, to Hal Lindsey, to other men that are sound students of the Bible. They may give you another view. Don't say, oh, he's wrong. Don't do that. Don't say, well, Herman's wrong. Just, okay, these are different views of things that haven't occurred yet. That's why I like to be very honest with you. I don't know. This is the way it seems. But prophecy is very difficult to interpret. Now, important is the phrase time of the end. This does not mean the end of the world. It amazes me, even on the History Channel, the Bible Channel, all this stuff, they'll talk about the end of the world is near. No, it isn't. The end of the world is not near. I can guarantee you, the end of the world will not occur from 1,007 years from this point. I guarantee you that. This old earth has 1,000 years and 1,007 years left to go. Forget all about environmentalists telling us it's going to destroy the world. God did not goof in his creation and his design of the earth. So, this is important. Many people, especially those who are trying to be sensational, like to speak of the end of the world. I trust that every one of you know that we are not, nor have we been speaking of the end of the world throughout our study of Daniel. The end of time here refers to the end of the tribulation, the day of the Lord, It's called the day of the Lord, called the end of time, as noted throughout the Bible. Time of the end refers to the end of the age of the Gentiles. It's the end of the age of the Gentiles. It's the end of the tribulation. The end of the time refers to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ back to earth, the second advent. So the time of the end is when Christ will come, set up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. After Daniel's 70th week, 7 years, Jesus Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. I know that the alarmists say that due to global warming, this earth is not going to be here very long. All that is to frighten people so they will follow in their plans of controlling the world. Take away the fact that Jesus Christ created the world with a specific plan in mind, and you are left with evolutionary destruction. Put in the fact Christ designed and created the world, we can sigh a sigh of relief. But God created the world with a specific plan and design. This world will be here and has been doing fine for the last, for at least 1,007 years. Then, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, this specific earth we now live on will be purified by fire, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will never perish. So while it may sound sensational, it's anti-biblical to speak of the return of Christ as the end of the world, because it is not. Next, we have two signs in our passage that the end of time is drawing near. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Well, here Daniel receives two signs of the end of time. Now, what's the end of time? The end of the tribulation. The end of the time of the Gentiles. So here are two signs that this time is coming near. All right? Daniel has seen in his vision the unfolding of suffering of his people from his day up until the end of the tribulation, ending in the return of the Messiah. Two signs that are nearing the end of the time. Many shall go back and forth. Two, knowledge will increase. I hope you'll walk away understanding those two phrases. They have been so wrongly interpreted and translated. You can imagine how these have been people going back and forth. Most of the time, this is interpreted as the mass travel by people in cars, trains, airplanes. But what if that is not what the verse is speaking about at all? What about that? It's not speaking of that. What is the prophet Amos? What if the prophet Amos tells us is what really is going back and forth? Let's see if we can get it from Amos. What are people really going back and forth about? A little bit about the minor prophet Amos. The minor prophet Amos was a shepherd in the southern kingdom. Now get the northern and southern kingdom separated. In the southern kingdom around 770 B.C. But he was called by God to the northern kingdom. Be like a southerner called to go up to the north. Them Yankees, the message. I'm being humorous. So he's from the southern kingdom and he's being sent to the northern kingdom at the peak of the northern kingdom's material and political success. He was called in a time of economic prosperity. Yet his name and message was to be a burden. And that is what Amos means, a burden. The condition of the northern kingdom at the time of Amos' ministry can easily be compared to America. While the kingdom was prosperous on the surface, beneath the surface, it was crumbling from the cancer of anti-God, greed, and arrogance. Hypocritical religious worship of idolatry had replaced any true worship in the northern kingdom of the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of this intensified with gross immorality, gave the people a false sense of security, as in America today. Drought, famines, plagues, death could not make these people wake up. So God called a watchman on the wall for them. God called Amos. And God did with Daniel, God gave to, what God gave Daniel, God gave to Amos the visions, five of them. And it is in the fourth vision that we learn what Daniel meant when he said, people going back and forth and knowledge will increase. And if you see, this is the mass of traveling today and unbelievable access to knowledge on the internet, you've missed the real danger being spoken of here. You've missed it. If you can just see the mass knowledge of the internet and how all of this knowledge is so accessible. I'm so proud of them. I have the ancient Cambridge history. I have the Encyclopedia Britannica, both the A and B's. They have one set of books with just quick answers, and then the second set of books a longer answer. Just go on Google now. There it is. All my work. There it is. Just that simple. That's the increase of knowledge. No, you've missed the importance of Scripture. Let's see what's going on. The fourth vision of Daniel, the fourth vision of Amos, we learn what Daniel meant. And so let's look at Amos 8, chapter 8, 11 and 12, where he prophesies of the time of the tribulation. Verse 11, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Now watch this. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but a famine rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea, back and forth, and from north even to east, back and forth. They will go to and fro, back and forth, to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. People, these are horrible words. These are horrible words. To be in a famine, but not for bread, thirsting not for water, but for the word of God, and not finding it. They're going to go back and forth. Now take the Daniel word. Daniel, go back and forth, back and forth. Knowledge will increase. They'll learn about all the religions. They'll learn about all of this stuff. But they'll not find the truth. Continuing, the wording may vary a little from the one prophet to the next, but I hope you see that Amos and Daniel are speaking of the same period of the tribulation and saying the same thing on the condition of the people. Daniel says they will go back and forth. Amos says they will stagger from sea to sea. And why are they going back and forth? Why are they staggering from sea to sea? They're seeking the word of God. Behold, the days are coming. In Amos, this refers to the day of the Lord in reference to the tribulation. In Amos, the word of God referred to as the bread and water by which life is sustained. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but for the hearing of the words of the Lord. This is the worst kind of famine, the most disastrous thirst for the word of God. People will stagger from sea to sea, from north even to east. People will stagger, going to Eastern mythology, Eastern religions, everywhere going back and forth, Daniel 12:4. And why? Why are they staggering in every direction? Why are people going back and forth? They're seeking the word of God. But God is withdrawn from these people who do not really want nor desire Him. Oh, they will go back and forth in all directions of the compass, but they will not find Him or His word. This describes the worst condition man could find himself in. Now, what is meant by the word of God? Does this refer to the true gospel, which they have so strongly rejected? Does this refer to prophetic revelation? It's going to be hidden to them. That's what it means in Daniel, sealed. It's going to be hidden to them. It's going to be right there. Right there. You can sit and read it. It's going to be hidden. They're going to read it and not see it. or does it refer to all the teaching that he has been provided is in the sending of his son, the Messiah? It refers to all this and more. They should have known. This has been they've been studying the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you, in order that, here's the purpose for the manna, he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word, everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why the manna came. The manna came, they might understand they need the word of God. People all over America today are suffering from all kinds of disorders, mental and emotional. They run to doctors for some magic drug, but they do not run to the word of God. If we could just realize that the word of God is the greatest comforter to the soul and to the emotions of our, that our God has designed our bodies. He designed and created our bodies to respond to the richness and the comfort of his word. And without it, stress, anxiety, and depression, fear, and a futile search going back and forth for a magical man-made cure, psycho heresy, where you starve and thirst, but you reject the truth while you do it. All the descriptions we have seen of Israel during the tribulation, Amos 8, 11, and 12, present us with a most hopeless condition. Now, let's look at the last phrase of Amos 8, 12. But they will not find it. Why? Why will they not find it? You seek God, don't you find him? Isn't the verse that says that? How come they will not find him? What's going on? Alright. Start with Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord. Please pay attention to the next phrase. While he may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. He is not always going to be able to be found. And he's not always going to be near. That's the point. You have to be able to read the whole verse. Then let's go to Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. To understand these two verses, and to understand why they will not be able to find him, and maybe why some of your prayers are not answered, I thought I'd throw that in. Let's take a look why this is true. Ezekiel 14, 1 through 5. See, the Bible interprets itself. Ezekiel 14, 1 through 5. Then some elders of Israel came to me, Ezekiel, and sat down before me. They came to Ezekiel seeking, searching for the word of the Lord for answers. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, they want answers? Well, the Lord came to Ezekiel. Son of man, Ezekiel, these men seeking the word of the Lord, okay, here's their condition, have set up their idols in their hearts. Remember what I just read? With all your heart. With all your heart. They have set up in their hearts idols and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore, speak to them. Tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel, these are Jews, who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, the Lord will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. What he's saying is, I will answer you from where you come to me. You come to me with idolatry, I will answer you through idolatry. You will not get the honest answer. I will answer you what you want to hear. I'll have it somewhere in here, but let me just give it to you now. The rich young ruler. How can I enter the kingdom of God? And the Lord said, keep the whole law. I'm sure I would be tempted to go over, take the Lord by his robe. Hey, psst, that's not how you enter. You know better than that. It's not by keeping the law. It's by believing in you. What's wrong with you? See? No, the Lord answered him from where he came. How can I enter the kingdom of God through the law? I'll answer you according to how you came to me. Keep the whole law then. So you got to understand, God answers us for how we come to him. That's why I put in there maybe why some of your prayers aren't answered. What's the purpose of your prayer? Is it for you? For your ambition? For your betterment? Or for the sake of Jesus Christ? For the glory of Christ? He knows. Don't try to fake him out. You can fake out each other. You might even fake yourself out. But he knows. Okay? Verse 5. In order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. People, God answers you from where you are. These men are in idolatry. Now you should be able to understand the significance of Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. With all your heart. I had a dear friend come years ago. Her husband, they were probably in their 50s. Her husband committed adultery on her. They divorced. And because I wouldn't let him have it from the pulpit, she left. She wasn't looking for truth. Wasn't looking for truth. Looking for what she wanted to hear. And that's why a lot of people listen, even to good Bible teachers. They're looking for what they want to hear. They're not listening. They're not listening to what's being said from the Word of God. They've got their own agenda in listening to the teaching of the Word. And that's how they're going to process everything, through their own agenda. People, you've got to open your whole heart. I'm ready to receive whatever you have to say today. So, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You cannot come to the Lord God with idolatry or occupied with yourself, accept and expect him to answer you in wisdom. In your prayer life, are you asking God for your personal gain or for his glory? And remember, he knows the truth. If you study carefully where Solomon was when he asked for wisdom, you will find that he was in the high place. He went to the place of worshiping idols, and among the idols thought he'd talk to God. People, you don't do God that way. You don't do God that way. Let's get right down to brass tacks. A man puts his wife along with all of his whores, expects her to feel just taken care of with her, with the rest of them. She's going to walk away. That's the way you are? I walk away. You come to God with idolatry, with yourself oriented, with your own goals, your own mind, your own desires, and expect him to cater? He's not going to do it. Not going to do it. You got to come to him. I open to you what you have to say, what your word is, what your plan is. And then he will answer. And I've already talked about the rich young ruler. So in Daniel 12:4, but as for you, Daniel, conceal, shut up the writing of these words, and seal, close up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, staggering back and forth, as Amos says. Knowledge will increase. Now what does it mean, knowledge will increase? This is not knowledge about the true God. They're not sitting down opening the Word of God, listening maybe to a good Bible teacher teach them about the Word of God. It's not what they're doing. They're looking for the hoopla. They're looking for the sensation. They're looking for the Olsteins. They're looking for people that will tickle their ears. That's what they're looking for. They're not going to listen to the things about the true God. So this is not knowledge about the true God. They'll go back and forth. They will gather a great deal of knowledge, but never find the true knowledge of God. Just as man today searches for knowledge while rejecting the truth that is right there before his eyes in the Word of God. Remember, you want to be a star? Tell someone about Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, we might finish up with Daniel starting in verse 5, but I'm not promising. We'll just have to see how it goes next Sunday. Any questions? Because we've reversed a lot of understanding of the verse in Daniel about the increasing of knowledge going back and forth. I hope you understand what's going on from Amos. Got to understand the Word of God from the Word of God. Let the Word of God interpret it. Since I have a few moments, the first preacher of the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles, where James Vernon McGee came, in fact, he came right after I've already put it away. But it was so funny reading, because in my opinion, he missed it. But he talked about how knowledge will increase, and he talked about how things have increased. Well, people are taking trains everywhere today. He wrote it in 1940. As a copyrighted, and people are doing this, and boy, they're learning all kinds of things at colleges and stuff, and he'd be amazed today if you understood that as the interpretation. But I hope you understand from Amos, that's not what's going on. They're going back and forth looking for an answer, looking for the truth. They can't find it. God will not be found. Knowledge will increase, yeah, but not the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God, because that's not what they want. They don't want that. They'll run to anything but that. Everything but that. And that's going to happen during the tribulation. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the book of Daniel. We thank you for the enlightenment. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the encouragement for us to tell others of Christ, that we too can be stars in eternal heaven by telling others of Christ. They need it so badly. We understand, Father, not everyone's going to respond, but it's not up to us to guess who will and won't, but just to tell everyone the gospel of Christ. Tell them about Jesus Christ, their Savior. And Father, we thank you for the correct understanding of the Word of God. What's actually happening in the book of Daniel? What's going to happen in the period of the tribulation? It's exciting. And Father, we pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning and then settle in our souls, become realities in our life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.